And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Ahoy, Buccaneers fans. Welcome aboard the RBLR Bucks podcast. So happy to have you on this journey with us. I'm Musab, one of your co-hosts and co-captains on this Buccaneers voyage. Well, what a thrill it was, Buccaneers fans. We had ourselves a heartwarming victory against the Tennessee Titans, warming our hearts like the Florida sun, you feel me? Just when I started to put my head down after that Baker Mayfield interception in the first quarter, things changed up for us real quick, and we started to fire on all cylinders, especially that defense. Oof. Well, maybe it's a sign that things are changing for the better for our Buccaneers, or maybe not. That's something we'll discuss tonight, but I'm going to keep it real, though, listeners. Hold on your hats, because the winds of fate are blowing us towards a testy matchup against the West Coast 49ers, who are riding high on a recent big win. But before we set sail on this perilous journey, let me introduce you to the trusty crew who'll be manning the Buccaneers ship alongside me. First in our Buccaneers fleet, a man who's always ready to chart the course of football discussions, the navigator of insights. He is Zach Blaine. Zach, how you doing, man? And what was it like being in Tennessee for that win?
So we went to Hooters, and I was sitting there. I didn't even, like, in my head, it didn't click that they were playing Tennessee. Like, I knew they were because we did the show, but outside of that, it just didn't click. So I'm in my Buccaneers gear. I got Hazel all dressed up in her Buccaneers stuff. And I get there, and I notice, like, they're all wearing Tennessee jerseys. I was like, wait, what? I may have messed up here. I can't lie, though. The Tennessee fans, man, they were all super cool. We all kind of hung out. We had some beers, and we all just talked football. I left at halftime, so I didn't get to see the ass-kicking part of the whole game. But, you know, it was exciting, man. It was fun.
Hell yeah. Happy to hear that. And to my left, standing tall beside Zach, we have the Buccaneers tactician, the maestro of football strategy, and a guiding star in our journey. He is Carter Brantley. Carter, how you doing? And I don't think you were in Tennessee, but wherever you were, man, what was it like?
I was not. I was at home watching it on the couch. You know how that goes.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure, man. Definitely not getting the full going to Hooters in Tennessee experience that Zach got. But you know how it is. It was definitely a great time watching some good football finally from the Bucks. Not really some great football from Tennessee, but we'll get into all of that. Excited to be here talking football with y'all. We'll definitely get right into it. They finally won, as Musab mentioned, 20-6. You know, it's kind of a nice little victory. You know, it's not overwhelming or anything, but it's definitely a good bounce back from the losing streak. So Musab, is your faith renewed? Is this like a bounce back game? Are you like, all right, let's get back into gear here? Or are you still kind of like, it was nice for them to beat up on a crappy Tennessee team, but at the same time, like, it's still a Bucks life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I'm more for the second. It was nice to beat up on a crappy team. I do think that we definitely balled out for sure. Sure, they're crappy and all that, but I really do want to give a shout-out, especially to our defense, who really stepped it up. I don't think it was a perfect game either that we, you know, completely ran over them. As I mentioned already in that intro, that first quarter, honestly, was just super bland, boring, just nothing really happened out of it, okay? And I don't know what it was, but I guess we just kind of did a little 180. We started to step it up big time, you know, in the second, third, and fourth quarter. Overall, we did really good. Obviously, just some kind of issues here and there, just with kind of coverage especially. I do want to, you know, I did give a shout out to the defense, but I hate to say this, but something that just really caught my eye, Carter, was the fact that kind of Zion McCollum just was making some errors here and there. We were seeing that over and over again just with their overall defense. The Titans were running the ball down the field, whether they're passing it or running it. Our third downs were a little sloppy here and there as well. But in the end, when it came to kind of getting touchdowns, we were able to stop them. So that was really big for sure. But I mean, what are your overall thoughts? I mean, as you mentioned, it was a crappy Titans game or a Titans team. And I mean, yeah, we ran over them for sure. But yeah, how do you feel, man?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's important to take into context that the Tennessee Titans are the Tennessee Titans. You know, they're not a powerhouse football team. They're not, you know, the 49ers who the Bucs take on this weekend. They're not the 49ers. They're not the Eagles. They're not the, you know, they're not Kansas City. But like we've been saying, it's still nice for them to just get back on the horse, you know, get back in the win column. That's definitely important. It was great to see them limit Derrick Henry the way they did. They really shut him down in the running game. You know, Will Levis was still able to do a little bit, but once they got into the red zone, the Bucs really continued their winning ways, so to speak, in the red zone defensively. And I thought that was a huge key, and it's going to be important for them to continue to do that, because the 49ers this weekend, we'll get into it later in the show, but they can move the dang ball. You know, they can really make things happen. So if the Bucs bend as they typically do, then they just need to continue not to break. But Zach, how about you, man? Is this a game that you think, oh, the Bucs will get right back on track after this one? Or are you kind of thinking, eh, it's the Titans, they kind of suck, it's still a Bucs life?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, do I think they're going to get back on track after this one? No, because we're playing the Niners.
Right, that's a good point. Yeah.
Now, outside of the Niners, yes, I think that the rest of our games outside of the Niners are all winnable games.
For sure.
So for me, it was, I wish the Niners game was before this one so we could go into this stretch that we're about to have with, you know, some momentum. I don't think we're going to get dominated next or this week coming up, but this is not the week that I would have wanted to play a really good game to follow up playing the Niners, you know?
Yeah, it'd be nice if they were playing the Colts this weekend instead of the
49ers. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you. That would definitely be good. But I know, Musab, you already kind of mentioned the defense. And Zach, I'll bounce this right back to you. Do you think that the Bucs played well defensively because they're kind of bouncing back? They're right back on track, or do you think the Titans are just that bad? Like, I was really encouraged. I mean. I don't know. Derrick Henry and that offensive line. Derrick Henry's not Derrick Henry of old, and that offensive line is really bad. So I don't know how much you can really put that stock into it. But they still managed to contain Will Levis, who kind of lit up the Patriots in week one. I know it's the Patriots, but – or not week one, but his first game. His week one. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're good, bro.
but, yeah, anyways, this is a very long-winded way of asking, how serious do you take this defensive dominance?
Yeah, I mean, what, we've had one bad defensive game?
Right, that's a good point.
So, I mean, I think I touched on it last week where I said that I thought that the defense was kind of a fluke in that game. I know I was probably a little more animated about it because I was pissed off that we lost to the Texans, but I think that what you're seeing is what you're going to get. Are we going to look that good? Are we going to hold San Francisco to 6 points? Not a chance. But Do I think that we're the best defensive team that San Francisco is going to see or has seen? I think we're up there in the top two or three that they've seen so far. So wow. I think that this defense is kind of just, we had a hiccup. It happens. You know, not every pitcher goes out and throws a perfect game. So you're going to have a couple of games here and there where you don't look great, and it's going to happen. So I was never worried about our defense, but I think this just reassured me.
Right, for sure.
I think the big thing was for sure is that both offense and defense were showing that they were clicking, and the fact that we were able to see a little bit of Kancey and Diaby get some action in on there as well, that was really nice to see.
But it also shows you how important it is that Jamel Dean cannot be injured ever again.
Like, oh, yeah. That
too. I think that was a big part of our issue last week was that our number one corner was out. And then Carlton Davis, apparently, with our number one corner out, plays like a fourth grader. So the biggest thing is that I think it shows we need depth at corner, and I would love if there was anyone that we could sign at this point just as depth. There's not, but it'd be nice. So I think that that's the biggest takeaway for me is that if we have an injury in the defensive backfield again, we are in some serious trouble.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great point. The first thing that I think of is like in baseball, if you trade your closer, then everyone else kind of gets shifted back an inning, or like their role gets a bit shifted up. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
You know, when Jamel Dean goes down, then Carlton Davis covers the opposing team's best corner. It is really hard. And Zion McCollum becomes your number two, quote unquote, which is just it's a tough proposition for sure.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a really, really good point. But despite the Bucks winning this game, which they did so very convincingly with flying colors, there were still some kind of weird things that went on with the game plan and the offense and the defense both doing some strange things. But there was one situation that I really wanted to focus on, kind of a coach check, if you will. And it was the end of the first half. It was 4th and 5 at the Tennessee 41 with, weirdly enough, 41 seconds remaining in the first half. And the Bucks just punted it. They didn't go for it. They didn't try a field goal or anything, which I can understand not trying a field goal, because if you try to kick one and then it misses, then you give Tennessee really good field position. So I understand that. But would y'all have gone for it there? Musab, we'll start with you. Do you agree with Bowles' decision, or maybe you're trying to be a little bit more aggressive, push the envelope a little bit?
Yeah, I wish we were a little bit more aggressive on that. I think we definitely could have made something happen for sure. Definitely would have been worth it. I think that the way our defense was looking so far in that game, I think we would be able to stop the Tennessee Titans for sure if they got the ball back as well.
That's a fair point. The defense was absolutely, to use a phrase that you love to use, balling out. You know, they were doing real yeah. well. They were playing out of their mind. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that I see a little bit of both sides, though. I will say, because when you're playing a team like Tennessee, they're not going to put up 20 points. You know, they were not going to do all of that. So maybe playing a little bit more conservatively for once, because I hate when Bowles does this, because he does this all the time. He kind of takes his foot off the gas, or kind of plays it as if he's trying not to lose as opposed to trying to win, which is a really awful way to play. But in this case, I at least understand it. You know what I mean? I don't agree with it. I'm still with you. But I can at least see, like, hey, you know, this team's not very good. If they're playing a really amazing offensive, like against San Francisco, they got to go for it. Like, I'm disgusted by this decision against San Francisco. If the same situation plays out, they need to be aggressive because they're outmatched. So yeah, I kind of see both sides, but yeah, I definitely would have loved to have seen them gone for it. Zach, how about you though? Maybe are you a bit more with Bowles, or are you still kind of like, yeah, you need to push the envelope there?
Yeah. I mean, there's kind of part of me that is like, yeah, push the envelope. Like, let's just go for it. But realistically, 41 seconds left. What are the odds of us scoring? You know what I mean? At the 41 seconds left, unless I don't remember how many timeouts we had, or if we had any at that point. I would imagine we probably had all three of them.
I think, yeah, we had all three. At
least two of them. So in my mind, unless we're pushing to score at that point, I'm not risking any injuries on our offense. I don't want to see Trask play. I don't want to see Trey Palmer be wide receiver too. Like, I think, in my opinion, it's a calculated risk to just kick to punt the ball. They're not going to score on us. They haven't done anything all game. I'm cool with just giving them the ball and getting to getting to halftime without any injuries.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, because, you know, the last 2 minutes can be an intense kind of sprint. It's not the marathon that a lot of drives
exactly
can be. So, yeah, I didn't even think about that aspect of it, but that's a good point as well. Yeah, I don't think any of us want to see Trask come in and have Trey, but like what you said, that would not be a lot of fun.
Some of Twitter does. It's wild to me, bro.
Yeah. It's weird. I've definitely not loved watching Baker at some points. He's made some turnover worthy plays that I would.
All right, I'm hanging up the phone. I'm hanging up this call.
No, I'm messing. But I definitely don't want to see Kyle Trask. He's definitely doing a much better job than Kyle Trask would ever do. So I'm never going to go into that camp. But regardless, that's an interesting point, the injury aspect of it, I did not think of. But moving on to our next segment, we've got player of the game, because despite the negative segment that we just did, they won this game, and it was fantastic to watch. There were a lot of really great performances. A lot of guys really stepped up, contributed, and I'm sure y'all will get to them. My player of the game is Lavonte David. He had 2 tackles for loss, pass deflection, just – I hate to say ho-hum because it was a fantastic performance, but for Levante David, that is ho-hum. That's who he is. That's what he is, the consummate professional. He's just really, really good out there, the captain of the defense. It's going to be tough whenever he leaves, whether it's through retirement, free agency, what have you. But this is just a really fun game to watch from him. He's all over the place. And you could argue he probably should have ended up with at least one interception. He had a play where he had a pick in his hands. And you know, I'm not going to fault defenders when they drop picks. They're not wide receivers. They're not tight ends. They're paid to break up passes. If they make an interception, great. That's awesome. But if you're in the right place at the right time, forcing incompletions, that's all you can really ask for from a defender. So Levante David was my player of the week. Zach, who's your player of the week from this past Sunday?
You're going to make me say it on here, aren't you?
I am.
Devin White, man. He was a stud this week. I give props when props are due, and I think that he deserves some respect this week. It seemed like every time Levis dropped back to pass, Levante David was there putting pressure on him. He had one sack. I think there was a few tackles that he had. I don't remember the stats off the top of my head, but he was just a wrecking ball as far as causing Levis to not be able to go through his reads and throw the ball away. And I think that's ultimately what kind of kept us ahead in this game, was the inability for Tennessee's offense to get going at all because of guys like White and David. I mean, there was so many big players this week, it was hard to pick from.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Devin White did a fantastic job. And speaking of another Mr. White, Rashad White also had a wonderful game. I would be remiss if I did not mention that. He outgained Derrick Henry. So
that's not saying much. He had a wonderful play, if we're being honest.
Yeah. But anyways, that felt good to watch. Musab, how about you? Who's your player of the week?
Listen, it was hard to pick a guy on the defense just because I think they all did phenomenal. Honestly, a shout out to a lot of guys on there. So I wanted to kind of change it up and want to dedicate my player of the week to the offense, to the guys who score points for us. No, it's not Baker, Zach, unfortunately, but I know he had a drop just like Levante David. but I'm going Mike Evans. Listen, I think he's still balled out for us. I've already kind of sent him a shipment for some RBLR grip boost, so he won't be dropping any more passes in the future. But also, I just wanted to kind of highlight one play, which was, I think it was 2 minutes left in third quarter, or I'm forgetting it, but it was like a 22-yard reception, just a couple yards short of the touchdown, and he just drags, you know, the defenders into the touchdown, and boom, there it is. So I don't know, Mike Evans being Mike Evans, you know, the big dog he is. And more than anything, as I mentioned it before, I love to see that Baker and Mike Evans are clicking a lot better than they were before.
Yes. Evans and Godwin were both on point Sunday. I know, like you mentioned, that the drop was ugly, but that touchdown was, you want to talk about angry runs. I know our producer has that phrase, but good gracious, he looked frustrated, and rightfully so. That was a bad drop, but he really made up for it. He had a great, great game. Definitely the MVP of the offense from Sunday. But if you are also interested in getting some RBLR Stick'Em for your football gloves, we also, Aldrich aside, we do have some t-shirts on there, some really fire gear at shop.rblrsports.com. And since, you know, we're celebrating this week that the Bucks finally won, they got off the schneid. So we'll give you a promo code Cannons, CANNONS, type that bad boy in, and you can get some Rays, Bucks, Lightning, or Rowdies gear, whatever you're feeling. Definitely check that out. We've got some fire gear on there. So after that shameless shot plug, we're moving on to the San Francisco game. It's the 49ers week, which I don't know about y'all, but I've kind of been dreading because the 49ers look really good. I was hoping they were going to get trounced by the Jaguars last week because the 49ers have been struggling, but then the reverse happened. They beat the crap out of the Jaguars. It was an ugly, ugly game, 34-3 on the road. Brock Purdy finally looked like his normal self, and the offense was just clicking. The defense made Trevor Lawrence's life miserable, and I'm a bit nervous. So anyways, as I mentioned, they struggled after a 5-0 start and went on a three-game losing streak, kind of a mini version of the Bucks. So which team are they? Are they the 5-0 team that beat the crap out of the Cowboys? Are they the 0-3 team, or are they the team that beat the crap out of the Jaguars? Maybe somewhere in between. What are your opinions on the 49ers? Musab, we'll start with you.
I think they're more like the 5-0 team. I mean, honestly, I think they're really dangerous when they got a whole healthy roster. I mean, they just got Chase Young as well, Hargrave, Trent Williams is back in the house as well. So they're looking like a really big threat. They absolutely embarrassed the Jaguars. I think they're definitely a big Super Bowl contender for sure. I'll just leave it at that. Honestly, they definitely got a lot in store, and I think they can be the champions the way I saw that game and the way they've looked in the past for sure. I think 0-3, that little thing happened. But yeah.
Well, I'll follow this up with a follow-up question. Are they the second best team in the NFC in your mind, or are they better than Philadelphia, or is Dallas number two? Where do you rank the 49ers in the
NFC? Oh man. I think it's a battle between both of them. Yeah. I do want to give respect to the Eagles as well, but I mean, listen, I mean, I think it was one really good game after kind of a couple sloppy games. I think that was really nice to see, but what I think is important is kind of just feel it out a little bit more, see how much they beat us by or how much they lose to us by. That's possible, I guess. Probably not. But, yeah, no, as of right now, I'll put him at second best right now. Feel it out maybe first, but right now I'm staying with second.
For sure. Zach, how about you, though? What are your overall impressions of the 49ers?
Yeah, it's a weird answer. It's a hard question to answer because I feel like the answer is so weird. I don't think that they are an in-between team. I just think this is like a Jekyll and Hyde situation. Like, you get really good San Francisco or really bad San Francisco. I don't think that – I think that they are a great team. When they're on, I think that they're better than the Eagles, and I stand by that. When they're off, they lose to Pittsburgh. Not Pittsburgh. They lost to the Browns. Cleveland.
Yeah. P.J. Walker-led Browns.
No, exactly. So it's like when they're hot, they are, in my opinion, the hottest team in football. When they're not, they are not good. Like, it's bad. So I think it all depends on what you're getting. I'm banking on it being the crappier side this week.
Right.
But like you said, they did just go stomp on Jacksonville. But Jacksonville is one of those teams where I'm not very impressed with them this year.
Really? Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. That's saying a lot. ETN is a stud. He's a beast. No shade on him because he is dominating. Trevor Lawrence doesn't look great this year. He looks kind of mid. He's got, what, 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions? Like, that's not that impressive to me. Calvin Ridley's not blowing up like he's supposed to, so.
Not at all. I got him on my fantasy, yeah. Man.
Exactly.
Yeah. He screwed up a lot of people.
I don't think that Jacksonville, like, the name Jacksonville sounds good this season when you look at who they have, but when you look at their ability this year, it's just kind of eh. So, I think that Tampa being the number two ranked defense that they've faced as far as points allowed, we're towards the bottom in yards allowed, but points allowed, we're top two that they've faced. We're just behind Dallas, who I know San Francisco put in work on Dallas, which is kind of scary, but we are the number two defense they've faced as far as points allowed. And if we can keep them below 20 points, you know, I think that it feels like this game could be a we'll call it a trap game for them.
Yeah, I think a trap game is a really interesting way of putting it. But I'll follow you up with the same question I asked Musab. So you think that they're better than the Eagles? Like, ultimately, who makes it out of the NFC? It's between them, Philadelphia, and maybe the Cowboys. But in your mind,
no, Dallas will lose first round. They are not a playoff team.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. But, you know, it's the NFC. They kind of suck.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. No, it's one of those things where, like, it's so hard to answer. If I had to put my money on someone right now, I'm putting it on the Eagles.
Fair enough.
Because of the 3-game slide that they played really no good teams in that slide. Maybe Cincinnati if you consider them good. But I don't, you know, I don't like Burrow, you know. I'm kidding. but no, it's just, it's one of those things where like they're, if, like I said, if I had to put my money on it, I'm going Philadelphia right now, but I would not be shocked if they got hot San Francisco, if San Francisco came out of the NFC.
Absolutely. And I do think health play, I mean, health always plays a big factor in football.
Yeah.
It's, you say this every year, or we say this every year, whoever stays healthy, it's the war of attrition, all those cliches. And it's never more true with any team other than the 49ers, really, because Debo went down, and good Lord, that was kind of what triggered that losing streak. But of course, now Debo's back, and they looked really different against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, you know, obviously Trevor Lawrence has not been, you know, an all-pro caliber quarterback or anything, but they've got a decent enough record. They're the division leader. They're still a decent team. So to see the 49ers go on the road and trounce them in that way was kind of impressive. So yeah, I'm kind of with you. It's kind of a weird thing. But let's just play hypothetical for a second. Let's say that the Bucs somehow win this game. They go to San Francisco, they shock everyone, they manage to pull out a victory. Are they, because right now the Saints are the favorites statistically to win the NFC South. Most projections have the Saints winning it, just how the season's gone, et cetera. But if the Bucs win this game, in your mind, are the Bucs the favorites to win the NFC South? Musa, we'll start with you.
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, the way I kind of think about it first is I'm wondering is how do we really win it? Do we win it because the 49ers just crap the bed? Or is it because we actually, you know, we actually balled out? You know, we put our blood, sweat, and tears in there, and we actually found a way to win. If it's the first, then no, I don't think so. I think, sure, yeah, I guess we'll still be on top of the NFC South. The NFC South is honestly just it's an ugly group, okay? Sure. So honestly, it's really anyone's game the way I kind of see it right now, depending on, let's see, what we see from this 49ers game. I think if we see that things are clicking more and more as weeks go on, you know, we're actually learning from our past mistakes. We're looking as good as we can possibly be with the roster we have, with the injuries that we're dealing with, then I'm with it. I think that I am, you know, I'm with it. I think it's definitely our spot to take for sure for us to be the leaders of the NFC South. But I don't know. To see if we, I mean, it's just, I'm just thinking the first question is, you know, if we end up winning, it's just with all due respect, it's just hard for me to actually imagine that unless, as I mentioned, unless the 49ers, yeah, I mean, as Zach mentioned, the whole kind of Jekyll Hyde situation, if they just play like that 0-3 team, they keep screwing up for whatever reason. So we'll see.
Absolutely. And that's a good point because, I mean, injuries could happen. You know, the 49ers could lose, you know, God forbid they could lose Brock Purdy. You know, he could go down and then Sam Darnold is thrust into the situation. Ooh. Sudden Sam Darnold, as they say. And then the Bucs are like, oh, shoot, like, you know, things are looking kind of good. Although some people will have you convinced that the gap between Sam Darnold and Brock Purdy isn't that wide. I'm not one of them, but
those people are liars. We call those liars, kids.
For sure. All people also think that Kyle Trask is a better option than Baker Mayfield, as Zach pointed
out. Those kids are delusional.
Right, exactly. So, so I don't know. Crazier things have certainly happened, but I am with you. It definitely depends on the context of the win. If the Bucs, in my mind, are favorites for the NFC South, even if they do win, like Musab said, the 49ers could just play really bad football and the Bucs could just luck their way into a victory. That could certainly happen. And if that does, then, yeah, I don't know how much credit you give this win. But, Zach, how about you? Maybe you're a little bit more positive. Maybe you're like, hey, a win's a win. The Bucs are just that much closer to a division title if they win this game, and that's all there is to it. Or maybe you're somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I feel like this is a loaded question because I think that realistically we're still in this race whether we win or lose this game. That's how bad this division is. If we win this game, I don't care if if Brock Purdy plays the worst game of his career, Debo Samuel has 8 yards because he has 14 drops, I don't care. That's a morale booster. And I feel like that's important to take into consideration is that no matter what, whether they beat the best San Francisco team or the worst San Francisco team, morale is going to be high in Tampa Bay. And that plays a big role in next week's game. So if we win this game, yes, I think I would be willing to put money on the fact that Tampa will win the division if we win this game. I'd put less money on it if we don't win this game, but I still think that realistically, if we lose here, we beat the two division rivals that we have, the big division rivals, the Saints and the Falcons.
Yeah.
That way we split our – well, really, we just need to split one game with each of them because we have a tiebreaker against the Saints already. So if we can just handle this game, not get hurt, and play the rest of the way out, I think we still win the division.
Wow. Hey, fair enough. And that's a good point. You know, this game is not a defining game. It's not a yardstick game.
Exactly. Like, everyone's expecting us to lose. So
yeah, so it's like
– you got to kind of play the underdog role. Just go with it. If we lose, we lose. Like, I know there's going to be fans. Oh, my God, Baker played like ass. He shouldn't be the quarterback. Oh, my God, Rashad White had 14 yards. Like, it's going to happen. We're going to have those guys win or lose. It's just you can't go into this game expecting to win, I guess, is where my head's at, because it's the San Francisco 49ers. Like, they are a stud of a team when they're hot.
Absolutely. Great points. I don't know. It's going to be a really interesting game because, you know, San Francisco, like we've been saying, they're coming off that really, really hot game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, where everyone just looked on point. I don't know. Things are going to be really interesting Sunday, and, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But we're nearing the end of our episode. And, Musab, I know you've got an over-under for us.
Yeah, I got two over-unders. Try to make them a little bit interesting. So I'm going to start with my first one. Chris Godwin, over-under, 52.5 receiving yards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Zach, I'll let you take this one first.
Wow. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's the sweet spot, though. Like, that is the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go over. Okay. I see Mike Evans and Godwin having a big day. If there's a weakness on the San Francisco defense, it is their defensive backfield. Sure. So I see both Mike Evans and Godwin having relatively big days, and I think that they both go over.
Wow. Okay. Hey, I dig that. I'm going to go over as well, because I think if Baker Mayfield has a shred of time, if he has even just like a little bit of time, I think that Godwin and Evans can take advantage of some weak matchups in that San Francisco secondary. Absolutely. So I'm going to go over as well. Musab, how about you, though? You got to answer your own thing. Is it over or under for Godwin receiving?
Oh, man, unfortunately, I'm thinking the under, guys, just because that little shred of time thing you're mentioning, I don't think he's going to have a lot of that shred of time, unfortunately. Yeah. That D-line of the Niners is going to be coming in hot is what I'm thinking, so I'm going under.
Our pass blocking is very good. I feel like we got to keep in mind our run blocking is dookie, but our pass blocking is very good.
But here's the thing, man. Have they faced, other than the Eagles, like the Eagles game was bad, and I think that's kind of a precursor to what they're going to see with the 49ers, because the Eagles' defensive line is really good. I'd argue that the 49ers' defensive line might be even better.
And on top of that, they just got Chase Young. So, you know, while you're worrying about Nick Bosa.
I'm going to be real with you. Chase Young doesn't move the needle for me. I know a lot of people think he does. You tell me 3 years ago you thought Chase Young was going to be traded because he's going to be where he was now, you would have expected more out of him.
For sure. He hasn't lived up to it.
He's very good. I'm not saying he's bad, but he is not, in my opinion, all pro level. Right. So, like, he's good. He's not great to me. So I'm not necessarily as worried about him as I am the rest of their defensive line. Right. Bosa terrifies me.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see how that goes. Luckily, our tackles are kind of the bright spot on our offensive line, and our Bosa and Young are coming off the edge, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think my big concerns are Hargrave and Armstead up the middle. I think Haynesy and Malk.
That is completely understandable.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a tough time. But Musab, hit us with that. You were about to say something.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, just my second one. This is for my Baker Mayfield fans, a.k.a. Ooh. Zach Blaine.
Over under
0.5 interceptions by Baker Mayfield.
I'm going to go over. I think he might have two. I'm Ooh. Definitely over on 0.5. If it was 1.5, I might still go over. I think he might have a pair. And it won't even necessarily – I'm not even going to pin it on him. You know, I'm not even going to say, oh, it's trash. Like, he's just not going to have anywhere to go. He's not going to have anything to do. He's going to snap the ball, and then, you know, he's going to have Javon Hargrave just, like, on his ass, and it's going to be just brutal. I don't know. I do not have a lot of faith. So I'm going to go over on Mayfield interceptions.
You know, okay, this might be just because I love Mayfield. I'm going under, and hear me out. I think in Mayfield's Tampa Bay career, whatever week we're in now, I lose track of it. In the big games we've played, he's not had too many turnovers. It's been kind of the throwaway games where we're down and he's trying to, you know, make stuff happen, which, again, some of them are bad throws. The interception this week against the Titans, it looked real bad until you watched the slow-mo of it. You could see that safety fight, get right back.
I still think it was really bad. Yeah,
it's still throwing into double coverage. But I guess made it triple coverage.
It was not triple coverage, though. He was one-on-one with the backer.
And man, you got gang banged in between two DBs. I remember Carter's in the chat. What, like, he's like 5 foot what?
Yeah, Devin Thomas is 5'9".
Come on, man.
I'm not mistaken.
Okay, 5'10", but yeah, he's short. But,
like, no, I do think that in the big games where it's mattered, he's not thrown interceptions. He's not been turnover prone. Like, we kind of – the Baker we got was turnover prone, but the Baker that he's become in Tampa has not been turnover prone. So I am going to go with under just because I think that Baker shows up, and you're not wrong. I do think that he's going to get hit a lot this week, but I also think that he's going to take care of the ball. So I'm going under.
All right, I dig that.
Sounds like a Disney movie. The Baker we got and the Baker we have right now. Sounds like a freshman QB turning into like the savior of the team, you know, after the starting. It sounds like Friday Night Lights.
I'm telling you, man, just watch. Yeah,
when Jason Street goes down. Anyways, I'm gonna have to go
over. Actually,
you know what? I'm probably going to go over. I think he's probably going to hit one. I don't think two. I think one. Yeah, that's about it, though. I think it's just going to happen just because of all the pressure and everything. And it's bound to happen against a team like the Niners. But I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't throw any interceptions.
For sure. Yeah, I think it's certainly one of those weird things. He's taken care of the football a lot better than he has in his previous years in the NFL. So that's been very encouraging. But again, it has less to do with my belief in Baker and more to do with my belief in the San Francisco 49ers defense.
And you're not – I don't think that, like, the possibility of him to throw two interceptions in this game I don't think is a crazy one.
Right.
And your reasoning is spot on. Like, I don't think it's going to be him throwing into triple coverage deep in the end zone.
Right.
Yeah. I think that it's going to be – if it is interceptions, I'm going to put it on the linebackers. The linebackers are going to get picks. I don't think we're going to see – like, their defensive backfield is not that good. So right. If I had to pick, it's going to be like a Fred Werner and guys like that are going to, you know, recover a tipped pass because he's got 17 guys hitting him all at the same time. Like, that's kind of where I see – if it happens, that's how I see it happening.
No, I'm going to put it on Devin Tompkins for not being able to jump high.
Put it on Devin Tompkins for being 5'9 and not when he hits the ball throwing his way out. Oh, man, that was an insane throw. But anyways, we're nearing towards the end of the episode, and we have not done our predictions. So prediction time. How are y'all feeling about this game? Musab, we'll start with you. Who you got winning? What's the score?
I'm going 30-14 Niners. I think it's going to be an ass whooping. I just don't think that we are able to kind of show up against a fiery team like them. All I pray for is that we kind of learn through our mistakes throughout the game. I hope that it doesn't go downhill. I hope that it slowly goes a little bit somewhat uphill from the start. But who knows? We're bound to see what happens.
Yeah, the in-game adjustments are definitely going to be key. The 49ers are just really well coached as well. Shanahan clearly knows what he's doing. That's a really, really well-coached team as well. That's a very underrated aspect of San Francisco. I've got the 49ers as well, 38-17. Blowout. I know that's tough to hear. I know it's not fun, but unfortunately San Francisco is really that good. So I don't have a lot of faith in the Bucs this weekend. But Zach, you're always Mr. Positive. You're always picking the Bucs to win. Are you going to buck the trend? How are we feeling about it?
You know, this one is hard because I really do think this could be a trap game for San Francisco. So you know what? I'm going to call it a trap game for San Francisco. I'm going to say 27-24, Tampa wins.
Wow, you think they put up 27 points on this defense?
I do. Like I said, Mike Evans is feeling hot right now. Dave Canales playing Mike Evans and Chris Godwin on the same side of the field has been a change that was needed, and it's been a change that's helped both of them perform better. And I think if that trend continues, that we see a big game out of Evans and a big game out of Godwin. And I really, in my heart, is telling me this could be a trap game. I won't be shocked when we lose. Like, it won't be, oh my God, we should have won this game. But I do have a feelings for some reason that this is a trap game for San Francisco.
Hey, fair enough. I dig it. I love the optimism. As misguided as it may end up being.
Look, you're 100% right.
Right? I mean, hey, I hope it would be awesome if the Bucs won this game and turned it into a trap game. That'd be wonderful. And hopefully that's what we're coming back with y'all with next week. Hopefully we're coming back saying, man, Zach Lane was right. You know, he really proved us all wrong. The Bucs went out there and took advantage of the San Francisco 49ers overlooking them. But we'll see next week. This is coming to the end of the episode. We really appreciate y'all tuning in. If you like what you heard, you can hit that like and subscribe button wherever you're getting your podcasts. You can also follow us at RBLR Sports on all of our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and you can get more of Zach Lane on TikTok at RBLR Sports. He's always making some cool Bucks content there as well. So we really appreciate y'all tuning in. Hopefully we're coming back with another Bucks victory, but even if not, hey, it's the 49ers. That's how it be. But until then, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.